A very good morning. You're very welcome along to the weekend edition here on Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. Coming up on the programme, there's a special feel-good fortnight event being organised for Inishowen. We'll hear what that is all about and how you can get involved. Apparently, we're wasting perfectly good meat. Internationally renowned chef Jennifer McLagan tells us why we should be eating parts of the animal we tend to throw away. Killybegs duo Little Arrows have signed a major record deal. We'll chat to one of the band and relive a live performance they did here on the show. We'll speak to Anne-Marie Doherty about her son Paul, who was undergoing major surgery in the US. We'll have an update on that. Back to the music theme, local singer-songwriter Karen Kelly's in studio to discuss her career. She'll also be singing Get Forest Life. And we'll also chat to a children's diet specialist. So if you've got questions about your child's diet, you can get in contact with the programme now. Okay, great to be back in the hot seat for the weekend edition here on Highland Radio. Thanks very much to Barry White, who held the fort expertly, it has to be said, over the last while. Appreciate that very much. So we want you to get involved with the show, of course, the most important aspect of the programme. Call us 074-91-25000. Text the show 086-7700-555 or tweet at Greg Hughes 2. Loads more on the programme besides what I mentioned. St Mary's National School in Buncrana have put together a fantastic song. It was part of a school project, but kind of turned out to be a promotional video, if you like, for the Inishowen area, the Malin Head area more specifically. We'll chat to them. And as I say, there's more coming up as well. 07491 25000, as I mentioned, is the number. 086-7700-555. As I mentioned, we have that child's nutrition specialist coming up on the programme at about 10:30. So if you have any questions, maybe it is about how you could get your children eating some of the foods that they're not eating, or what should or should not be in the diet, or perhaps maybe you think maybe the diet could affect their behaviour in some form or other. Those are the type of issues we'll be discussing with our specialist. You can tweet me too at Greg Hughes 2. You're more than welcome to do so there. Right, we'll have a quick look at the newspapers which are supplied to us thanks to Kelly Centre, Mountain Top, Letterkenny, Irish Independent, Church Photos banned amid child abuse fears. Well, we're in the Holy Communion season, aren't we? And confirmation's not far away or not far past, and so on and so forth. I think this is going to prove controversial. It seems a step too far for me, but parents are being banned from taking pictures of their children during communion and confirmation ceremonies because of Catholic Church fears images of children would get into the wrong hands of potential abusers. Each diocese has been directed to have specific guidelines governing the filming and photography of children while they are on church grounds. Do you agree? Disagree? Should you be allowed to? I think it's okay maybe in more organised fashion. A lot of these communions now can turn more into photo shoots, but to ban them all together, is that a step too far? 086-7700-555. Really interested to get your views on that today. Hoonahan, Noonan won't get rates cut. That's the front of the Irish Daily Mail. Hopes of a government push for a rate cut to help 300,000 hard-pressed homeowners have been dashed. Patrick Hoonahan has dismissed claims Michael Noonan will put pressure on the banks to reduce their exorbitant interest charges on variable mortgage rate holders. Because, of course, the banks are enjoying discounted rates or reduced rates, but those rates are not being passed on to customers. I think it's a little bit different for tracker customers, but they aren't as plentiful as they were in the past. The Irish Times Weekend, they also deal with an economic story. It's an IMF warning note over the economy. Too heavy for a Saturday morning? I'll read the first paragraph. The International Monetary Fund has said the government's new economic plan steers fiscal policy broadly in the right direction, but it's warned that current favourable conditions could worsen. New initiative planned, or no new initiative planned, to avert planned bus strikes, as if it's not hard enough to get around if you don't have the luxury of a car. There's no buses yesterday or today, and another 5 or 6 stoppages we're hearing being planned for later this month. But dispute focuses on plans to privatise 10% of bus routes. Obviously, staff there aren't too into that. Show respect, bosses gang up on Jose. Thought we'd go to the back page of the Irish Mirror. Arsene Wenger and Manuel Pellegrini have accused Jose Mourinho of showing them a lack of respect. The Chelsea boss said his Arsenal counterpart Wenger's failure to win the title since 2004 was boring, But the Frenchman hit back yesterday, saying the biggest thing for a manager is to respect each other. Chelsea, of course, within touching distance, if they haven't already touched it, of the Premiership title. We'll stay with the back pages of The Sun. Show me the money. This is the massive fight for any boxing fans. This is it. Perhaps 4 or 5 years too late, but still, Manny Pacquiao versus Floyd Mayweather. It's on TV tonight. Massive fight. He's guaranteed $95 million. Manny Pacquiao. He's going to give away $47 million of that. Of course, he's a very proud Filipino, but he's given away over half of his purse from that fight to charity, which is pretty nice. That fight starts about 4 o'clock tonight, I'm told. Liverpool battle, Raheem, home truths, crisis talks as Rodgers' house. Brendan Rodgers has told Raheem Sterling that Liverpool will not let him leave. The cop laid down the law after inviting the England star to his house for a hot, hot chat. Front of the Irish Daily Star, terrible story, killed trying to save girlfriend. This man was stabbed to death at a house party trying to protect his girlfriend. He's pictured, of course, from a crazed knife-wielding thug. 31-year-old Shane Murphy was fatally knifed at his girlfriend Sharon Kelly's home in Limerick on Thursday. Two men are being quizzed by Gardaí. Completely and absolutely pointless. And you're very welcome back. So is it a nightmare when you are trying to feed your children? You try and sit them down and find out what they can eat, what they should eat, what they will eat. And you have those tantrums and so on and so forth. It can be a very stressful time, particularly at the end of a very long day. Well, there's a new website that has been launched, Toddlebox. And it's a feeding and nutrition website catering specifically for children to ensure they remain healthy while simultaneously putting an end to tantrums at the kitchen table. Sarah Keogh is a dietitian. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
That's a bold claim, isn't it? Putting an end to tantrums at the kitchen table.
it's
what kind
insane.
Of a website is this?
well, miracles, obviously. it's really about, I suppose, for a lot of parents, is giving some hints and tips and advice and things to sort of put into practice. You know, just sometimes some things with kids can actually be sorted out fairly easily. Now, not all of them, and I have two kids of my own, so I've been there with a lot of it. But some things can take a bit longer, but some of the stuff that we would see when we work with parents and children, you know, we see some simple things that can be sorted out. Simple things like not giving kids too many snacks in between meals and things like that just build up an appetite that can actually solve fussy eating problems for a lot of parents.
Exactly. So in other words, ensure that the appetite is there when it comes to dinner time.
Well, this is it. I think something we forget with toddlers, you know, sort of between the ages of 1 and 3, their stomach isn't much bigger than their fist. And we think nothing of giving them a little snack in between meals or a little treat. We don't realise that what would be a tiny snack for us actually fills them. And then an hour later we're saying, well, why aren't you eating your dinner? And the child is simply not hungry. So I would say the bulk of what we see around fussy eating is just the child is simply not hungry at dinner time.
And I suppose to extend that to, you know, if the child's appetite is little at that time because they've been snacking, they're going to go for the more tasty stuff on the plate if they're being forced to eat something, aren't they?
This is it. And I know even with my own kids, when I wanted to try something new with them, I mean, I knew if you took them out to the park for an hour or two, you'd be able to take them swimming or something like that. They came home with such an appetite. They'd eat anything. And that was a great day to try something new. So being hungry, I'm not talking about starving kids now. You know, toddlers do need to have their snacks and their meals, but we need to be a little conscious about how often they snack, how many snacks we give them and the amounts, and particularly treats. And we do come up against a lot of parents saying they're doing fine, but maybe other family members are maybe giving them treats or there's the stuff and picked up in other places. So sometimes looking at that can make a big difference.
But that's not going to completely eliminate veggie gate, is it?
Definitely not. The sad reality is that you have a sort of a window from when the baby is 6 months old until they're about 18 months old where they're open to trying new foods. And that's when you've really got to get the veg in. And it's not just the tastes there. They've got to get used to the texture and the feel of it. So for a lot of people who hate vegetables, often it's just they didn't get used to the feel of it when they were that age. What happens to most babies is around 18 months, they shut down in terms of new foods. And children who would have been open to absolutely anything are suddenly like, that's new, I don't know what that is. So if they haven't had that really good exposure to texture and taste up to that time, it can become a much bigger struggle. Now, it can be managed, but it is that bit harder. And that's why we'd always say to parents that from weaning, you know, you might start off on the purees, but you need to be rapidly moving through textures so that by the time a baby is 1 year old, they should be eating normal family meals, maybe well cut up. You know, but that's where they should be. Whereas we'd often see kids still coming in on purees maybe at 18 months.
That's too late for a lot of us, though. What do we do to try and get them back to eating vegetables.
When you
because
were
it's
there.
So easy, you know, because you throw some stuff in the oven and this, that and the other, you know, and if the child somewhat resists, say, eating slightly more healthier foods, maybe it's also a get out of jail card for the parents because they say, oh, they don't eat that, they don't have to prepare it. But if we want to make the effort, is there a way that we can deliver a broad, healthy diet in a more attractive way? Say, for instance, if we've gone past the weaning stage and we're trying to maybe address the issue at the age, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 and onwards.
Older age groups, it's generally the same sort of thing. What's worth remembering is particularly when you're dealing with toddlers, so sort of 1 to 3, it takes 10 to 16 tries for a child to get used to a new food.
Yeah.
So what parents need is to be very, very patient that, you know, you're going to give them a food. They might look at it, touch it, but they might not eat it the first 4 or 5 times you actually give it to them. So we would say to parents where something like that is you pick the food you want them to try. You give them a very small amount of it, either on their plate or a little bit on the side, and you say nothing. And I have to say that's the hardest part for most parents because they're dying to say, yeah, just get in there and try that. But you say nothing and you just keep doing that. Every time you're having carrots, you give them a little bit of carrot on a plate and say nothing. Well, even if they eat it, say nothing. Because what we forget is children don't just learn food from the taste of it. They actually have to learn the feel of it and get their hands into it.
And we have to be conscious too, if it don't work. Because I remember speaking to a niece of mine, I think it were a nephew, they had never eaten tomatoes and they'd never tried tomatoes. They simply didn't eat tomatoes because their parents didn't eat tomatoes.
Exactly.
If you know what I'm saying. So it was not because they'd ever tasted it. It wasn't texture. It wasn't taste. It was purely the influence of guardians.
And I would have been the same. Shellfish never came into my house when I was a child. And I actually had to sit down and teach myself to eat it. And actually, I'd often say to parents, if you have a food you hate, it's actually worth putting yourself through this process of trying little bits of it over a few weeks, because you'll get to understand how hard it is for toddlers and you'll have a lot more patience with it. So for me, having spent, and I tell you, it was 3 months learning to eat prawns, I had a much better sort of empathy with my children.
And you actually, you did, because I would like to eat shellfish, but I can't stand the taste of it. You're saying you actually become to like it, did you?
I love it. But I mean, I have to say, the first time I ate a prawn, I was in a restaurant, and if I hadn't been in a restaurant, I'd have spat it straight in the floor. It was awful. But just my mouth wasn't used to the texture of it. So literally, I just persevered, and after about 3 months now, I eat shellfish. I even cook it at home and really enjoy it. So it's gone from something that nearly made me feel sick through to something I actually like.
I'm going to try that.
I would. It's tiny bits. It's not about eating a huge amount of it. It's like, you know, the tip of your finger. But it's just to let your body get used to the feel of it. And it takes, as I said, 10 to 16 tries. So if we're more patient with children with that and be nice to them and realize that actually they're not being bold. They're not trying to annoy you most of the time. Mm. A lot of it is they simply have that horror, as what you're saying for yourself with shellfish, that funny taste or feel with it.
The texture is for me. Food for me is more about texture than taste.
Yes.
And I suppose I might be a toddler in my mind. Just to make sure that we're targeting this website at the right people. You know, it's people with newborns, people with children. What up to what age would you say that this
really
website?
Really around toddlers. We're really targeting sort of 1 to 3 where parents have huge issues with it. And we're just as part of the launch for the website, we're actually looking for 8 families who are struggling with fussy eating with children to take on the Toddle Box Challenge, where we would love to sort of see how they're getting on and maybe take them through some of the tips and advice that we have and monitor them and just see how they go. So we'd love to hear from anybody. If they go on to toddlebox.ie, they can register if they're interested in taking part in the Toddle Box Challenge, because we'd love to really bring this to life. And I think it'll be useful for parents to see the real thing in action. I can give lots of theory out here, but it's lovely to see it actually working for children as well.
Okay. A child of 14 months drinks 80 ounces of water on a daily basis. Is that normal, asks a caller? 80 ounces.
It's an awful lot.
It sounds a lot,
doesn't
it?
For children.
That's a bath.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a lot. You might find if someone's drinking a lot of liquid that tends to fill up their tummies and they don't tend to eat an awful lot of other things. It mightn't be any harm mentioning that to the GP the next time they're down or talking to the public health nurse, just to see why they're quite that thirsty. That's an awful lot of water to be taking for such a small child.
You enjoyed the support of Dahi O'Shaney's wife in launching the website, or the website had that backing, should I say?
We did, and we were absolutely delighted to have Dahi and Rita come on and talk. They've a 10-month-old baby, or I think he's coming into about 18 months, moving on, and they've been through all of that and as I said, they still have the issues. And I think we've all been there with kids where you've spent a long time cooking a meal and they look at it and they say, I'm not eating that. So it was fantastic to have Dahi and Rita launch it with us, and they're going to continue to work on it with us for a little while as well.
Superb. Remind us of the webpage address, Toddlebox.
Toddlebox.ie, and if anyone is interested in registering, just go on there today and let us us know.
Sarah Keogh, dietitian with Toddlebox, thank you so much for joining us in the programme. Have a great weekend and be safe.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye. And you're very welcome back to the programme. Well, you may remember in early February, we had the fantastic Killybegs duo of Ryan McCloskey and John Doherty, collectively known as Little Hours. Well, a lot has happened since then and now, so we're delighted to catch up with one member of the band, namely John Doherty. A very good morning to you, John.
How's it going?
Great to chat to you again. Just remind us, for those who aren't familiar, and there aren't many of those now, I'm sure, you are a duo out of Killybegs.
Yeah, it's myself and Ryan McCloskey from Killybegs. We're a duo.
Now, there's absolutely no doubt that it's been something of a meteoric rise for you guys over the last year to 18 months, because you don't have to go that far back before there was no such thing as the band.
Yeah, it's been a crazy year now. We've played together for years in different bands, and we've known each other. We sort of started Little Hours around this time last year. We went to a studio up in Terriman with Tommy McLaughlin and recorded It's Still Love. And just ever since, really, it's been something else every day. Like, it's just been growing and growing, and it's unbelievable, really.
Because there was something of a risk in that, wasn't there? Because obviously you were playing in separate bands, and that was their income, and I think one of you's had to give up a job to concentrate on this fully, at least. So it wasn't the easiest decision to make, was it?
Well, it was easy for me, but I've ever wanted to do is play music, and I suppose Ryan has too. But Ryan had a full time job, and making that commitment to the band was a tough move for Ryan. But we're delighted now the way everything worked out. Great.
And the reason we're checking back with you is because there was a huge announcement for you. You were signed to a really big record company this week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we just signed a deal with Sony RCA in the UK. So,
And what does that actually mean? Does it put pressure on you guys? Because I suppose, I mean, obviously you're constantly writing new material and what have you, but I presume it's based on the production of singles and albums and what have you.
Yeah, well, there's no plan set in stone yet, but hopefully we'll be getting back to studio very soon to put down some new stuff and release some new music with Sony. And as you said, we're writing all the time, so there's always, we're still trying to find the right songs and everything to put out. But basically we'll be going back to studio hopefully soon and getting some new music out there.
And it assists, I presume, in that I presume the record company would take over an awful lot of the work perhaps that you've had to do yourselves, so it frees yous up to some extent, does it, to work on your music, the key thing here, really?
It's a big help, but it takes a lot of
it's kind of backroom stuff, isn't it? A lot of the paperwork and...
Yeah, a lot of that stuff. But, I suppose we just have to keep... We're just going to keep going as we've always gone on, and just keep writing and keep doing what we've always done. And then obviously having the label behind us too is a huge help.
And how did that deal come about? Is it the type of situation where you put the feelers out to record companies, or do they seek you out? Or how does that work for those who wouldn't be aware?
We supported a lot of... We got to support a lot of great bands, and so just the word sort of got around, since we were playing with all these other bands, and we got nominated for a Meteor Award as well, Song of the Year, and because there was a few things that just, you know, maybe help get the word out about us, and thankfully a few labels picked up on it, and we're delighted that Tony did.
Now, as well as writing and all the other stuff too, you've a few big gigs coming up this year, and it'll be great to see you back in Donegal at the Sea Sessions Festival.
Yeah, we're playing, we're opening the Sea Sessions on the Friday, and we actually can't wait for that. We're always talking about it.
And you talk about writing new music. How long is it going to be before we hear some new stuff, or perhaps the album?
I can't tell you for sure at the moment, but hopefully sooner rather than later.
Okay, well, listen, it's fantastic to see you guys doing so well. I have to say, when we had you in studio, you were two of the most down-to-earth people I've ever had a chat to. So it's great to see good things happen to good people, John. And thanks so much for joining us on the programme.
Thanks a million for having me on. Thank you.
Well, as I mentioned, Little Hours were in studio with us in early February, and they performed their breakthrough song, you could call it. It's This Is Love, and this is a recording of that live performance. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I will need it. Sometimes I won't. But I could never tell you, tell you, tell you. This is love, this is sound. It's no loss, it's no loss now. It's the love, it's the sound. That is the fantastic Little Hours there from Killy Beggs performing live for us back in February. There's more live music to come up on the programme between now and 12. Karen Kelly, local singer-songwriter, will join us in studio. And we'll also hear from the second to sixth classes at St Mary's National School. We'll speak to Julianne Devlin, the deputy principal there. They've composed and performed a song entitled Malin Head. It's available for you to listen to on YouTube. And we'll also play it here for them. So we're just in Killy Beggs. Now we're going to make the short trip to Mount Charles, joined in studio by William Wilson. William, great to have you up.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Beautiful weather to travel in.
Yeah, lovely. Typical summer weather for
exactly.
Ireland.
As I say, it'll improve and then get worse within the next 5 minutes, I'm sure. Now, we wanted to chat to you because you've won a really prestigious award, the Irish Independent Higher Education Authority Making an Impact Award for 2015. It's a mouthful, but you must be delighted.
Yeah, very, very happy to have won it now. Yeah, it's a great achievement for myself and for IT Sligo.
So you are a PhD researcher, is that correct?
Yeah, I am.
So what does that mean?
So at the minute what I'm doing is, my background would be in college, I would have studied civil engineering, mm-hmm. and now, yeah, I'm doing PhD research. So what I'm doing is research into civil engineering, and what I'm concerned with is concrete design and bridge design.
Yeah.
So what I'm actually doing is developing a new type of concrete for use in Ireland.
How do you go about doing that, though? Because is it like reinventing the wheel to some extent?
It is, yeah. There's a few spokes to start with, but yes, there's a lot of new ideas involved in it. Yeah,
yeah. And what fundamentally would be the fault, if you like, in the product that we're currently using? Like, in other words, why would it need improving?
Well, I suppose it's a funny thing for engineering. We're always looking how we can improve all products. At the minute, concrete, we are using a lot of concrete in Ireland, and to produce concrete, it has a lot of environmental impacts. Mm. And so really what I'm looking at using is developing this new type of, it's an ultra high strength concrete. So it's, in terms of the normal concrete we use, it's a lot stronger. The reason I'm looking at this really is how we can get more from less.
Mm-hmm.
So we can make similar bridge structures that may be 40, 45 metres in length, but require smaller volumes of concrete.
And how could that happen? Is it because you wouldn't need the same depth because it would be stronger? Is that really the theory
that's
behind it?
So currently now, so if we've got 35, 40 metre bridge spans, the bridge may have to be 2 metres deep. So by using this higher strength, that means we can get away maybe with using half a metre deep. So it's, and in terms of the amount of concrete we use and even the steel we use, it's got high impacts in the amount it actually reduces the materials.
Now, you know, concrete's been tried and tested over decades and decades and decades. When you create a new product, how can you recreate time, if you know what I mean? Because, you know, it's all right creating a product that seems really strong for a week or a month, if you know what I'm saying. But how can you convince the industry then of its actual longevity beyond that into decades before, you know, it would be embraced, for instance?
Yeah, well, I suppose it is. It's true testing is really the way doing kind of, even the tests, it is a material now. It's been around for maybe the guts of 20 years all over the world, but it hasn't been implemented yet in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so it's really using tests in other countries and using tests here ourselves in Ireland. So this is really,
and tweaking it a little bit.
That's it. Yeah, it's all true.
So how far on are you then as it relates to developing this new material?
Yeah, well, I am just nearly 2 years into my research.
Really?
And at the minute, I'm very close to finalising what the actual concrete, what the materials and all going to be used and it's going to be. I've got about another year to do of actual testing on it, and then hopefully get my PhD from that. And then that's then when the real work starts in terms of getting the product out there and getting it commercialised.
I mean, it's a huge investment of your time. You must dream about concrete, do you?
I do, yeah.
One of your nightmares is concrete boots or something.
It's always on the brain, just.
Yeah. And it's absolutely fantastic. And I mean, you know, You could make a lot of money out of this, I presume, if all went good after you get your PhD.
That's the plan, hopefully. Yeah.
What kind of stuff were you up against in this award category?
So it was all research students in Ireland that applied, and there was 5 finalists selected. So myself from IT Sligo, and then there was 2 students from UCC who were investigating attention and also seafood diets.
Mm-hmm.
A student from DIT investigating using community service instead of prison sentences, and then a student from TCD investigating Scots pine trees.
All interesting areas, so you did well to come out on top of that.
Yeah, very, very diverse. So there was 2 awards on the day. One was selected by the panel, and the second was selected by the audience. So the audience was secondary school transition year students. So it's really about how you could actually get your research across to a lay audience.
How you can engage them, which is quite interesting of all the things. And with no disrespect, concrete's not the most sexy things, you know what I mean?
It is, yeah. It's not something that gets people excited. I just think it's been the same old grey thing it always was. I'm sick of looking at it, really.
Well, it'll be interesting to see. Who's to say that in, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, we'll be looking at bridges that are made from a substance which was developed by a man from Mount Charlotte.
Yeah, hopefully that's the plan. Anyway, we'll soon see these new types of bridges being erected in Ireland.
Excellent. Well, listen, it's been fantastic having you up, William. And we wish you the very, very best. It's great to see minds in this county getting the recognition that they absolutely deserve.
Thank you
fair
very
play
much.
To you. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Not to make too much of the weather, but it's not the fantastic start to the bank holiday weekend, but we have to stay positive, don't we? And that's what's going to be happening in Inish Owen, hopefully, through the Feel Good Fortnight. Tansy Cowley, good morning.
Good morning. How are you? Definitely.
I'm very well, and how are you?
I'm very well, despite the weather.
I know. But sure, listen, it'll be sunny shortly, and then there'll be rain, and maybe some hail, sleet and snow, and then sunny again, and we'll all be happy. Tell us about the Feel Good Fortnight. What's the idea behind this?
Well, Feel Good Fortnight is run every year for 2 weeks in June and July. We like to think of it as 2 weeks of sunshine, no matter the weather, which with today's weather could well be...
it's great, really quite apt, isn't it? Yeah,
absolutely. And it's run by a group called Insight Inish Owen, They're a community group that tries to promote mental and emotional well-being. And they actually run all through the year. They offer counselling services to those who need it. But every year then they put on Feel Good Fortnight, and it's 2 weeks of just good fun events, activities. Everybody is involved. You know, it's a kind of a, it's a very much a community, a whole community.
There's a real positive mental health movement in Isshow, and I know it's in reaction to an awful lot of tragedy, but there is some great work going on, particularly in that area, isn't there?
There is, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is an area, you know, there's a lot of isolation, a lot of people living on their own, and, you know, but there's, you know, some really good things happening. People being, you know, just really progressive, really trying to get out there and connect with people, which is so important. And it also, you know, it's, I think it brings communities together as well, you know.
And that's part of this, because it requires community involvement, business involvement, groups involvement.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Well, you know, we try to encourage businesses to get as involved as possible, and we actually have events that happen on the main street, you know. So businesses will decorate the fronts of their shops, you know, and take part in events and so on. So there's a great buzz around town, you know. It's really good.
Mm. Now, if people wanted to get involved, obviously a lot of people have been involved in the past, and we'll reinvigorate that, but there's an information out on Thursday the 7th of May, isn't there?
Yes, that's right. We're having a meeting for volunteers in The Exchange, which is on Castle Park Avenue in Buncrana, and we just want people to come along. We're going to just explain to them what we're going to be putting on this year, and just any way that they can get involved, whether in the run-up to the events or on the days themselves. And we're going to have some pretty good events as well. We'll have a day out at Ned's Point Fort, where we'll have barbecue, and we'll have face painting and live music. But yeah, there's a lot to get involved with. So if people want to get involved, they can either contact us on the Facebook page, Feel Good Fortnight, or they can just come along on the 7th, this Thursday, at 7 p.m.
Where is it, Tansy?
It's The Exchange.
Okay.
It's on Castle Park Avenue.
And this is about inclusion, and people listening, particularly in that area, who maybe feel a little isolated in their home, or maybe feel that they don't know enough people or what have you. This is exactly what this is about. This is your reason to get out and to get involved and to make new friends if you want, and to chat and have some interaction.
Exactly. Well, actually, myself, I'm not obviously from Inishowen, and I'm from Dublin. But I moved
We'll forgive
there.
You for that.
Sorry?
We'll forgive you.
Oh, thank you. No, I moved there last year, and I got involved with them this year. And I've found it to be really rewarding so far. Just the group themselves are so welcoming, and then just getting to know, you know, people around the community that I'd never have met before. So it really is. It's very rewarding.
Well, you're a perfect example, aren't you? Because there are people that move into an area and they could be there for 10 years and not know the person across the road. So this is a perfect example of how you can integrate yourself into the community.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. We started this this year. We kicked off Feel Good Fortnight this year on St. Patrick's Day, and we were in the parade, and it was the theme this year is Show Your Colours. So we just dressed as colourfully as we could. We had flags, we had banners, and, you know, it just was so much fun. We all just had so much fun. It was a nice day, and walking through the town, and everybody was cheering us on, you know, just dressed up, and it was really great. It really did, you know, it was really, really good.
Sounds great, and it's positive, and isn't that what it's all about? You know,
yeah,
I mean, you can look for the negative or the positive in things, and it's nice to be positive. So the 2 weeks runs, just to recap, the 2 weeks runs from?
It runs from the 27th of June to the 11th of July.
And there's a lot already in place, but still time for community groups, businesses, individuals to get involved. And if you don't know what this is all about, everybody is more than welcome on Thursday to...
On Thursday, at 7 p.m. In The Exchange to come along, and they can let us know. You know, I mean, even if you can help for an hour, you know, it all makes such a difference. So you just come along, and you don't have to commit to anything either. You can, you know.
Sounds fantastic, Tansy. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Great.
Maybe
Thank
we'll speak to you a little closer to the time too.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. That's Tansy Cowley there, speaking ahead of the Feel Good Fortnight in Isshow.